Hare Krishna. How are you all doing? Are you coming regularly to the Sunday feast here? How many of you are coming regularly to the Sunday feast? Very good. Oh, welcome. Thank you. And I hope that you'll continue to come every Sunday. Preferably every day. Thank you. Sunday's programs are very special for us. How many of you know who Srila Prabhupada is? How many of you know Srila Prabhupada? Okay. Where did Srila Prabhupada start this movement? Krishna consciousness movement, ISKCON movement? New York. How did Prabhupada come to New York? Was Srila Prabhupada invited by the US government? Srila Prabhupada came alone. He didn't know anybody here. He didn't have any money. He didn't know where he was going to stay when he came here. And from that situation, Prabhupada actually started the spiritual movement. And it developed in an incredible way. Within 10 years' time, it spread all over the world, excepting few places like the area of Europe, the Eastern Europe that was behind Ardenkarten. That area did not open up at that time. And the Muslim countries, we couldn't preach. Like wherever there was restrictions, Prabhupada could not spread the movement there. But otherwise, Prabhupada actually spread this movement all over the world, in all the major cities of the world within 10 years' time. And it will be a mistake to say that Prabhupada came here without anything. Prabhupada may not have any money, but Prabhupada had the greatest asset that one can ever have. You know what is that asset? That asset is love. It is with his love that he conquered thousands of hearts. Whoever came in contact with Srila Prabhupada, they became attracted to him because of the love that he offered. And you know how Srila Prabhupada displayed his love? Although he didn't have any money, all he had is a few trunkful of books that he translated into English. And he used to go out and sell those books. And by selling those books, whatever little money he used to get, on Sundays, he used to cook a feast. He was in New York, in Lower East Side, which is close to Chinatown. And he used to go to Chinatown, buy some vegetables and grains, and he used to cook. There was a small little place, a storefront, in 26 Second Avenue. And behind that, Srila Prabhupada had an apartment, small one-room apartment, one-bedroom apartment. He was staying there, and he used to cook. And some young boys and girls were attracted to him. And on Sundays especially, he used to cook and invite them and feed them. He used to buy the food himself in the morning. He used to prepare the food. And he used to offer the food to the Lord. And then he used to distribute the remnants of the Lord, which is called the prasad, or the mercy of the Lord. And that is how this program started. Sunday Love Feast. Through this feast, he used to distribute the love of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And that is how so many of them became attracted gradually. And now, in every temple in ISKCON, on Sundays, we have this program, Sunday Love Feast. In some temples, it's in the afternoon. In some temples, in the evening, like here. And in some temples, both afternoon and evening. So, this is how Srila Prabhupada actually started this movement called Krishna Consciousness Movement or Hare Krishna Movement. And through that, what is he distributing all over the world? He is distributing the greatest gift that one can ever have. The mercy of the Lord. And that mercy of the Lord comes in predominantly in the form of knowledge. Who is God? People believe in God, but we see that most of them do not know who He is. They speak about God, they speak of loving God, they speak of thank you. Hare Krishna. So, but when Srila Prabhupada came here, he actually started to distribute that knowledge. That's what attracted people. The young individuals. And then gradually both young and old. Initially it was the young Americans who became attracted. Young Europeans. Young Africans. But then gradually it started to spread because it makes sense. When we say God, generally, what understanding do we get? When you come to ISKCON, then you get a clear understanding. But I'll say, prior to coming to ISKCON or prior to being exposed to Srila Prabhupada's teachings, we did not have any clear understanding who God is. Many people think God is light, God is energy, God is, you know, all kinds of concepts. But when you, what Prabhupada gave the clear understanding of who God is from the information that God Himself gave. How many of you are acquainted with Bhagavad Gita? Please raise your hands. So, what is Bhagavad Gita? Bhagavad Gita is the wisdom that has been spoken by God Himself. There He is giving this information or this wisdom very systematically. First He is giving us the understanding who we are. If I ask who we are, if I ask somebody who you are, then very confidently he gives his identity. But when you think about it, then we see that that identity is just a superficial identity. his body's identity. But in reality, we are not our bodies. The bodies are just our external covering. The real identity is the soul. Now, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is giving the information that, okay, fine, body. But just consider the body is changing. Body is changing. From childhood, the body grows, becomes a young man's or young woman's body. Then eventually the body becomes old, and then finally the body dies. So although the body is changing, but does the person change? The person doesn't change. The body changes. Say, the 5-year-old body that one has and the 25-year body that it develops is totally different. Right? Even clinically we can understand that within 7 years, all the cells of the body changes. That means in this body, the cells that I had in this body 7 years back, not a single cell is present today in this body. So this is how the body is changing. And look at the shape. A little childhood body becomes an old man's body. Sometimes I see somebody after 10 years, I mean, whom I saw about 10 years back, if I was not introduced to him properly, then I wouldn't have recognized he's the same person. Completely changed. I saw a little boy and now he's a fully grown up young man. It happened just today. And it's happening all the time. Like this gentleman here. I saw him as a little boy and then I see him. He's a fully grown up person. So the body changes. But did the person change? The 5-year-old person and 25-year-old person, is it two different persons? Or is it the same person? What will be the answer? Same person. So, this is how we can see that the person doesn't change. I remains the same. So who is that I? Who, in spite of the change of the body, doesn't change? Obviously, he is not the body. He is someone who makes the body alive, who makes the body conscious. A very famous philosopher, Descartes, mentioned, I am because I think. Isn't it a profound statement? Anyway, the mic is powerful enough, everybody can hear me, although it's not so close to my mouth. Isn't it a very profound statement? I am because I think. When I don't think, am I or am I not? In my sleep, when I am not thinking, when I am not conscious, am I existing or not? Yes, you may say, well, when I'm dreaming, I am. Yes, when I'm dreaming, I am. I am. There are two states of consciousness. Wakeful conscious state of consciousness and dream state of consciousness. And then the third state is deep sleep. When we're in deep sleep, we're totally unconscious. Are we existing at that time? Are we aware of our existence? No. So these two states of existence are gross bodily existence and the subtle body's existence. We have two bodies, two material bodies. One is made of 5 gross matter, like earth, water, fire, air and ether. And the other one is made of subtle matter, mind, intelligence and false ego. They're two different bodies altogether, but both are material. When I'm awake, both the gross and subtle bodies are awake. when I fall asleep, the gross body is unconscious. But when I am dreaming, the subtle body is conscious. When I am dreaming, am I there? When you dream, are you there in the dream? Yes. With what form? With which body? In which body? Obviously not in this body. There's another body. There's the subtle body. And beyond the subtle body is the soul. From that comes the consciousness. As long as the soul is present in the body is alive. When the soul leaves the body is dead. But the soul continues. When somebody dies, don't we say he left, he passed away? The body is lying there, then why do we say he passed away? So who is that he? That is the spiritual identity of the individual, the soul. So in this way, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, the first thing that he establishes is that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. Our actual identity is not the body. The body is only the external covering, and the soul is the real identity. And then, in this way we become established, we become situated in our spiritual identity. And then now the consideration is, where does the soul come from? Is a product of combination of matter? Is the soul coming out of matter, or the soul came from another reality? That is a very critical question. Many people say, especially nowadays, there is a claim that no, life came from matter. But that is a false understanding. Matter is inert. Inert matter cannot give rise to conscious soul. Soul came from another reality. So beyond this nature, there is another nature, another reality, the spiritual reality. And we all came from that nature. And we all are spirit souls, tiny little conscious entities. And we all are coming from the supreme conscious entity, and that is God. He is a person. He is identified by his qualities. Just as in Latin, he is expressed as omnipresent. Omni means all. And present means present. So he is present everywhere. That's why he is omnipresent. Who is omnipresent? Are we omnipresent? Are we present everywhere? No. But he is present everywhere. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is omnipotent. He is all powerful. So these are the characteristics or qualities of God. Only he has these qualities. Now, one of his qualities is he is all attractive. He is all attractive. Anyway, there's plenty of space. Those who are coming, enough room has been made for them. Thank you very much. So he is omni. He is all attractive. Now, just as in Latin, it is called omnipresent, omniscient, omniscient, etc. So similarly in Sanskrit, the word all attractive, the Sanskrit word for that is Krishna. Krishna. Krish means attraction. And Na, Krishna, one who attracts. He is all attractive, therefore he is Krishna. It is not that Krishna is a Hindu god and so forth. Actually, all the names of God are identical to his qualities. In Sanskrit, in that way, there are many, many names of the Lord. Krishna, Rama, Govinda, Gopinath, Vishnu, Narayan, etc. In Christianity also you have many names of the Lord. God the Father, and as I said, omnipresent, omniscient. In a way, these are the names of God. In Islam, he is Allah. He is the greatest. Who is the greatest? He is the greatest. He is Khuda. He is the only one. There is no one equal to him. So these are the identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we can see when you go to the root of it, all the religions are giving him that identity of him in a most appropriate way. It's a matter of just recognizing it with proper guidance. And that's what happens. Actually, this knowledge is not being distributed or cultivated anywhere else today. In the schools, in colleges, in the universities, even at home, this knowledge is not being cultivated. The only place, at least according to my understanding, this knowledge is properly being cultivated in here, in ISKCON. Because Prabhupada came and made this arrangement. He gave the right information in the most appropriate way. Different religions are speaking about different, about God and spiritual reality, etc. But then again, you see, the information depends upon, or knowledge depends upon three factors: sthan, kal, and patra. Sthan means the place. Kala means time, and patra means the individual. Like for example, you may be a PhD, but when you go to a primary school, what kind of knowledge you present there? That's appropriate for that place, primary school, to the students who you are giving that knowledge to. Similarly, when you go to the university and you speak to the university students, then you speak in another way. So now we can look at different religions. Islam and Christianity, both these religions, what was the sthan, the place where this knowledge was given? Desert. Both this religion actually came from the deserts. So that was the place. And Kal at a particular time, and the Patra, who are the recipients of that knowledge? Not today's world, today's people, cultured, educated Americans. That's why it was presented in a way that they could understand. Those people could understand of that place. On the other hand, when you consider the Vedic wisdom, this has been cultivated and practiced by the people who are intellectually very, very advanced. And on top of everything, this knowledge was given by the Lord himself. Therefore, this presentation is the total presentation, and that wisdom is called the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. Sanskrit words stem from a specific root. For example, the word Veda originates from the root vid. Vid means to know. And from the vid comes Veda, knowledge. From know to knowledge. And this is the knowledge, the ultimate absolute knowledge. About who? About our actual identity being spiritual, another reality that exists beyond our sight, that's the spiritual nature, and our identity being spiritual, and we are coming from the supreme spiritual being. That God is the supreme spiritual personality, who is the supreme creator, who is the supreme maintainer. And when it comes to it, he's the supreme destroyer. So these three phases are prevalent in this material nature: creation, maintenance, annihilation. And ultimately, all these three things are conducted by him. And on top of everything, we all are his parts and parcels. Like when it is said, God the Father, then we have to recognize that he is the father of everyone. He's everybody's father. He's the supreme father. Why? Because everyone came from him. In that respect, he is the father, supreme father. And does the son have a relationship with the father? Yes. What kind of relationship? A very loving, intimate relationship. So everyone has the prerogative of developing that relationship with him. The relationship is there. He remembers us. He knows us. It's only we forgot him. He loves us, but we don't love him. That is the problem. Now he loves us, but when we don't love him, then how does he feel? Naturally he feels bad. Therefore he wants us to come back to him. Therefore it's not difficult to go back to him. It's not difficult to develop a relationship with him. It's only we simply have to make the simple endeavor, a simple statement: my Lord, I love you. I love you. So the one, when somebody loves and the other person doesn't love, and when the other person responds, then what happens? How does the other person feel? How does the lover feel when beloved responds? And then only the love becomes complete. So it's a matter of transcendental love affair. He loves us, and we have to develop our love for him. And when we do that, then a wonderful relationship develops. And can you imagine what it is like to be in love with a person who owns everything, who maintains everything, and who possesses everything? And not only is it a loving relationship, it's a very intense relationship of love. He is our dearmost father. He is our dearmost friend. He is our dearmost well-wisher. He is our dearmost protector. And so forth. So why shouldn't we develop a relationship with him? And it is actually a very simple understanding. And this is what Prabhupada came to give. And that's why people responded to him in such a way. Whoever came across him, they responded, because they saw, here is a person who really loves them and who is showing them the way to develop the ultimate loving relationship with God. So the purpose of coming here is to fall in love with God. But in order to love somebody, you have to know him. Can you love somebody whom you do not know? Therefore, the first consideration is get to know him. And how do you know him? The informations are there. How do you not only know him, how do you feel his loving attitude towards us? All the food that we are eating, who is providing that food? It's he who is providing. See his wonderful arrangement. A small little seed falls on the ground, a tree comes out. An apple tree. In the apple tree, there are many apples. In those apples, there are seeds. In those seeds, there are trees. In those trees, there are apples. In those apples, there are seeds. In those seeds, there are trees. In those seeds, there are apples. So, who can make such an arrangement other than him? And food is important, but actually even more important is water. Now, 3/4 of the planet is water. But that is salt water. We can't either drink it or even cultivate it, use it for cultivation. But see what arrangement he made. First of all, it is salty and then it's far away. How far is the ocean from here? Maybe not that far. But in some places, thousands of miles away. Right? It's impossible to collect water from there. And besides that, this water is useless water. Neither you can drink it, nor you can use it for cultivating land, for growing food. But see what's happening. The rays of the sun is making the water to evaporate. The water forms the sky from the cloud. The cloud is dispersed in different corners by the wind. Then it comes down in the form of raindrops and fills up all the water bodies. Who made the arrangement? Did anybody make this arrangement, or it was just a accidental happening? Did somebody make this arrangement? What is the intelligent response to that? Obviously somebody made this arrangement, and he is the one who made the arrangement. Okay, even more important is oxygen, right? We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. So if the process continued, then the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. Did it ever happen? No. The trees and plants are taking the carbon dioxide and giving the oxygen back. Who made this arrangement? Who made this arrangement? So this is how he is taking care of us. Just consider, a child is just born, and immediately his food, milk, mother's milk, appears in the mother's breast. There was no milk before, and just after a child's birth, who makes this arrangement? So this is how he is taking care of us. Should he go on and on like that? Another consideration. What's the shape of the earth? It's round, right? Where are we situated? On the surface of that sphere. And the earth planet is moving with a tremendous speed, about 1,000 kilometers per hour, about 600 miles per hour. Now just consider a round object, some objects are placed on top of it, and it moves. What will happen? It gets thrown out. Did it ever happen? Now just consider the earth is moving at a tremendous speed, and if at any point If it stops moving, then what will happen? The whole creation on the surface of the earth will be destroyed immediately. Did it ever happen? No. So who is taking care of everything in such a wonderful way? Is it difficult to understand? No, provided you get the informations from a proper source. And that proper source is the Vedic wisdom, and that is being distributed through this International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Whoever is coming in contact here, whoever is being exposed to this wisdom that is being presented here, is automatically become situated in absolute knowledge. So please take advantage of this wonderful opportunity. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.